Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. I'm your host, Elios, and I'm joined today by Bo.
All right.
Hello, Bo. Right. And this is episode 1241, and this is Friday, the 29th of August of 2025, I believe.
Yes.
Unless I'm horribly mistaken. Right. And today we're going to discuss how Labour betrays us again, how the Green Party is a total joke, and how Democrats are weak and they can't bench. They really can't bench, and it's what a pathetic sight. Right. So at 3 p.m. we have the Gold Zoom. It would be really nice for all of you to be there. And we have Islander issue number 4. Check it out. This is the 4th issue of our very successful magazine. We have articles in it by Carl, by our editor Rory, by Luca. We have also by Morgoth's Review, Dave Green. Lots of people are writing for the Islander. Check it out. Just £14.99. It's not even £15. Right. We're live streaming on YouTube, so do leave us a comment and we'll read it out towards the end of the segment. Thank you very much. And today we have some, we're going to have a really good discussion, I think, because we are talking simultaneously about pressing issues, the case with the Bell Hotel in Epping,
right,
and the back and forth between the council and the government and the people in the protests and the counter protests. And then we're going to have, I'm sure, some really good discussion about things. Right. So I think that one of the things we need to bear in mind when we're talking about politics is that actions matter much more than words. Discourse is secondary when relative to action. And I think that Labour is giving us completely mixed signals. It's like, you know, one of those cases where you want to date a woman and she isn't exactly certain whether she wants to date you or not. And she gives you mixed signal. I think that's what Labour is doing right now.
Yeah, mixed signal. It's a classic flip-flop. It's been their technique and the Conservatives' technique for years and years and years to sort of signal that they're going to be really hard-line, really strong on something. And then when they don't, and are brought to account for it, they try and excuse themselves by coming out with some globalist hogwash. And then at some point in the future, flip back to saying something really hardline. It's just all an exercise in wasting time.
Yeah.
And we're flooded by more and more people meanwhile. It's just that on repeat.
That's exactly what it is. So here we have Schrodinger's Enoch Powell, Sir Keir Starmer, PM of the UK. He says, if you're thinking about coming to the UK legally, don't. You will face detention and return.
Just not true. In very, very few cases, anyway, is that true?
Don't you believe him? No. He's going to be ultra tough. Ultra tough against, you know, he's not for impunity. He also says here, illegal immigration is driven by criminal people smuggling gangs. We're dismantling their organizations, shutting down online accounts and arresting those responsible, smashing their business model and securing our borders.
Not doing any of that, it seems. If they are, it's on such a small scale that it's not really making a dent.
But Bo, he made the Island of Strangers speech.
Oh, right. So there you go. So
what's going on? What's going on here?
Again, it's an exercise in wasting time.
Yeah. So let's forget what Keir Starmer says, and let's see what the Labour government and the Home Office are doing. Right, so we're going to talk about the infamous case of the Bell Hotel in Epping. I believe this is in Essex, and Bo, you're from Essex.
Yeah.
Born and bred.
Yeah.
Essex, the magnificent.
Essex boy, born and bred. For anyone who doesn't know, that's a genuine Essex accent there.
Right.
I didn't even grow up all that far from Epping. Debden, Faydenbois.
Yeah,
I know that part of the country.
Yeah,
Epping Forest is lovely.
So to give you a good summary, if you're watching from the US or aren't particularly familiar with the ongoing case with Epping, there's a hotel in Epping that is used to house illegal migrants. I believe this is for decades now. It's not just that it just happened now. They've done it even decades ago. And recently a migrant was charged with sexually assaulting a 14-year-old. And there were protests, there were counter-protests by leftists, and we have all this discourse about the human rights of illegal migrants. And then the council took legal action. They said, right, we need to do something about it. They took legal action, and the High Court decided to temporarily ban the hotel being used as a asylum seeker, as a place to house asylum seekers. And then the government appealed the decision. They say, we don't like your decision, we don't like your verdict, so maybe let's have different judges, different verdicts. I don't know, how does it sound?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the government, Home Office, decided to sort of intervene there at all speaks volumes. It's like, no, it's not what we wanted. We wanted to foist these people on you. And like, sort of, how dare you try and do anything about that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. That's exactly what's going on here. There's no other way. There's no other way to interpret it.
Yeah. But if we bear in mind what Keir Starmer said, one would you would expect him to be a bit tough on it, but it seems like he isn't. And it seems like the Home Office, led by Yvette Cooper, isn't. In fact, it does the exact opposite. It doesn't say we're going to be tough on crime. It doesn't say we're going to be tough on this. It actually communicates that, no, we are going to protect this, this whole venture. And the question is, you know, what is their line of argumentation at the end of the day? And it's not so... They basically said the quiet part out loud. Asylum seekers' rights are more important than the concerns of the people of Epping, the Home Office has declared. On Friday, a judge will rule whether Epping Forest District Council can close a hotel housing illegal migrants or the Home Office can continue to use it to house asylum seekers. On Thursday, Home Office lawyers told the Court of Appeal that Yvette Cooper had a duty as Home Secretary to prevent asylum seekers from being made destitute under the European Convention of Human Rights, and so they should continue to live at Bell Hotel.
That's funny, because the PM said that they'll just be detained and deported. So how is this even a thing at all?
Yeah, but they have to start at some point. It's, you know, from today and afterwards. But they have already come here.
All right. Oh, well, so... All right.
No,
so they just, get into this hotel.
I try to get into the mind of a politician, you know, who tries to speak a lot without saying anything.
In the meantime, it looks like and feels like that being, quote-unquote, detained...
Yeah.
Is being put up in a hotel.
Yeah.
And being deported is not being deported.
Yes. So, right. So the question.
It's not funny, is it? This is our country. They're ruining our country in real time here.
So we have info about the judges. They're saying that the judges who will be assessing the Epping case all have a leftist background.
Sure.
So the. To me, this doesn't exactly scream legitimacy. It says, I don't agree with the judiciary and the verdict of the judge who said something I don't like, so I will appeal this and I'm going to have different judges who most probably, I think it's 99%, will yield a verdict that is pro Yvette Cooper and Home Office. Right, so we have some claims here saying that they're going to appeal to Article 3 of the ECHR.
So who's going to appeal?
The people who are representing the side of the Home Office. Okay. The lawyers representing the Home Office and the illegal migrants being housed in Epping's...
So they very immediately and very directly appeal straight to human rights legislation in the ECHR?
Yes. ECHR.
Every time.
And I want to show you Article 3.
Okay.
But also I want to show you Article 8. Because let me just be very clear. I don't think the UK should be under the ECHR. That's my personal opinion. I may be wrong, but I don't think it helps the UK. But even more, I think the problem isn't so much with the ECHR. It's with the people entrusted in interpreting the ECHR. Mm. Because I'll show you Article 8. I think it's a bit more sensible than people make of it. And in fact, I think it's a bit scandalous. If you read Article 8 and you see what they are saying, the whole rhetoric, I'd side with the ECHR over Labour any day of the week.
Just out of interest, just as an aside, does Greece struggle with ECHR? Do their leftists always cite the ECHR why you can't deport
Yeah, we are in the EU.
Yeah.
So we do have all these regulations.
Yeah.
And
is it constantly the reason why yes. your government refuses to deport people that have come straight across from North Africa, say?
Yes, it's to a large extent. Also, there's pressure from NGOs and obviously the money behind it,
yeah.
because it's not some weird activists ultimately who have the last word. It's the money behind them.
Yeah, yeah.
We have all sorts of NGOs who constantly talk about human rights violations.
Right.
They invent fake news sometimes with people who are dead in the borders and die from border crossings, which are lies. And it's also the issue we have sea borders. And they're talking constantly about pushbacks and how illegal suddenly we are. And the point is, in Greece, at least, you see some attempts to curb illegal migration. But you also see, again, all the leftist establishment is trying to go inside with you.
So broadly speaking, it's the same playbook, in Greece.
Yes, okay, it's the same playbook.
Interesting.
Right, so the people representing the Home Office, pardon me, are going to appeal to Article 3 of the ECHR, which says prohibition of torture. Now, to my mind, no one spoke about torture. Mm. The same way that deportations have been taking place for a long time, they don't constitute torture necessarily. There could be a case, but I don't instantly see why they're putting it this way, but most probably they want to have a crazily sentimentalist rhetoric.
Yeah.
And they say, no one shall be subjected to torture or to inhuman or degrading treatment or punishment.
Okay. Yeah. So the thing is, you've got someone from, let's say, originated in North Africa or Sub-Saharan Africa or wherever, really, from Albania, from Bangladesh, whatever it is. And they're sitting in a camp for weeks or months on end in the Pas-de-Calais or Normandy somewhere.
Yeah.
Right, they're not actually necessarily, they're not guilty of any sort of punishable crime in their home country.
Yeah.
And then they get a boat across the channel and now we can't deport them because they might be subject to torture. It's like, well, it's nonsense. Like the other day when Reform and Nigel came out with the thing that they want to deport 600,000 over 5 years. Yeah. I see someone, I can't remember who it was, some classic lefty Guardianista person on Twitter saying, these 600,000 people will be killed if they're sent home. It's like, what? What are you talking about? Well, all of them. We don't even know. That's an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
We don't know who either of us are actually talking about.
Yeah.
And you're saying they're all going to get tortured and or murdered if we deport them. What nonsense. It's a crazy thing to hide behind that Article 3, is to use that as a complete coverall for never, ever deporting anyone ever.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
It functions.
It's a crazy argument.
It functions like terms like offence. Like, don't offend
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Don't engage in psychological harming. Or don't be an Islamophobe. And that could do it with every notion.
And you use it as a blanket for everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, let us bear in mind that a lot of these people are asylum seekers. They're making applications. And they're not going through embassies. They're not going through the legal route of going to embassies and asking for an asylum application via the embassy. In fact, it's the opposite. They don't go through the legal process. Mm. And lo and behold, record 111,000 UK asylum applications in past year figures show. Yes, obviously, the more inviting a system is, the more appealing it is to people, the more it sends the message, come here and we are going to give you access to all social benefits and money and housing. Yeah, the more people are going to come.
Yeah.
Right. So Article 8, right to respect for private and family life. And it has two clauses. Number one, everyone has the right to respect for his private and family life, his home and his correspondence. Clause number two, there shall be no interference by a public authority with the exercise of this right, except such as is in accordance with the law and is necessary in a democratic society in the interests of national security, public safety, or the economic well-being of the country for the prevention of disorder or crime, for the protection of health or morals, or for the protection of the rights and freedoms of others.
Wow.
So there is no clause, there is nothing about this clause that screams that we support unconditional rights for anyone. No matter what, you're entitled to the best treatment there is.
Oh, absolutely. If a lawyer wanted to use that as an argument, they absolutely could, couldn't they?
Yeah.
They wanted to sort of lean on Article 8 instead of Article 3.
Yeah.
They could.
Exactly. Because
they're choosing not to, aren't they?
Yes. Obviously. Because all this says, I think this makes perfect sense, because it says that, right, okay, maybe there needs to be a process, to a legal process to recognize some, you know, asylum seekers in some cases. I don't think the entire planet is in, you know, the Warhammer level type of war that suggests these numbers. But any kind of gratitude that is shown to the asylum seeker by the state and society is conditional. Yeah. It's not unconditional. And it's conditional upon things like national security, public safety, economic well-being of the country, the prevention of disorder or crime. So if you see this practice regularly making the economy worse by lowering the GDP per capita, because, yeah, okay, if you have...
Flooding the labor market.
Decreasing wages for the working class. For the native working class. If there is a surge in crime, if there is also a corruption of morals, because let's not kid ourselves, when people look at the treatment of the raping gangs case by the authorities, they do have the idea that, you know, this practice loses legitimacy, that the state doesn't help them. So this doesn't contribute to any good situation. It's not healthy. So I think that this is definitely an article and a clause that is more than enough to appeal to in order to say that, guys, let's stop kidding ourselves. It's not an issue of human rights. It's an issue of political expediency. They're pulling a leg just because they choose to do so for matters of political expediency.
If the government, if the Home Office, or rather the teams of Home Office lawyers, wanted to lean on Article 8, the bit in there alone that says economic well-being, you could argue that unless these boat people or any asylum seeker can prove beyond sort of any questionable doubt that they're going to be an economic positive, i.e. truly someone like a surgeon
or an engineer,
an experienced engineer with great skill sets that can go straight into the workplace and earn loads of money and pay loads of tax. Unless you're one of those people, like unequivocally, then you constitute sort of a negative effect on the, quote, economic well-being. So your lawyers, your Home Office lawyers, could go down that route and argue that all the time if they wanted to. But they don't.
They could,
but they don't. They don't want to.
And they don't, because ultimately it's an issue of people. And when it says there, for instance, the economic well-being of the country, or for the protection of the rights and freedoms of others, it looks like there is a surge in crime in some cases, and there are lots of victims of, you know, people from particular backgrounds who come here illegally. So this is, their rights aren't taken into account. And let me just give you an example with the Jamaican rapist who wasn't deported to Jamaica because they said that he was a member of the LGBTQ community, and Jamaica isn't particularly woke friendly. Mm-hmm. So by deporting that person back into Jamaica, the risks of him falling victim to bad treatment would rise. The question is, if you have people like this and do their sentence here and they don't get deported afterwards, the same risk that they would run if they were deported is actually something that characterizes people here. So actually, virtue signaling governments who hide behind abstract human rights rhetoric are actually taking risks with people in their constituencies and in their countries.
Of course. That
are risks that they aren't willing to take with the people that don't want to see deported, who are sometimes, you know, terrible criminals.
Yeah.
Right. And
absolutely. They're our problem forever now.
Yeah. And when it says that they're the economic well-being of the country, we need to remember that this is an abstract document. The question is, who are the people who are interpreting it? And again, I'll show you this before you anticipate. You sort of anticipated what I was going to say. That's why I showed it before. I'm going to show it again. You have people like Gus O'Donnell, who was cabinet secretary between 2005 and 2011, who says, I think it's my job to maximize global welfare, not national welfare.
Yeah.
So how can you say on the one hand that I will abide by rules that say that I have to put the economic well-being of my country first, and then say that I'm actually conceiving of my role as being the maximization of global welfare?
It's mad, isn't it? For anyone who might not know, the role of cabinet secretary is extremely, extremely powerful. Unbelievably powerful, really.
It's like the right hand.
Nearly all government policy will go through the cabinet secretary. Right, so it's an insanely powerful, you are the most senior civil servant, really. People call Gus O'Donnell God O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Like, he's a god, right? And he's the heart of darkness. It's men like this, in future generations, when historians look back and say, how did it happen that Britain, and all over the world, but how is it that Britain got flooded with fifth columnists and enemies of the state? How did that sectarian war start? Well, it's people like Gus O'Donnell that are ideologically captured and committed to that sort of thing. An evil person, as far as I'm concerned.
And I think the question is, one question is, how did it happen and how did it start? But I think another question is, how does it continue?
Because I
can definitely conceive of someone saying, right, the Cold War ended, now we're rampant individualists, the free market won, all kind of, you know, all the rhetoric of the Cold War, it ended, so now we're just, let's just maximize profit and that's it. I can understand how people could be lured into it, but the point is, after a while, when we have lots of data suggesting that there are plenty of negative consequences, why do they react the way they react? Instead of actually saying, listen, guys, we were being honest, we were a bit ideological about it, just like, you know, commies. We were very ideological. We were young. We were very ideologues about it. Let's just mature, wake up, and
I guess it's because that they are ideologically captured.
Yeah,
I mean, they genuinely believe. I believe Gus O'Donnell genuinely believes that. It's not that he's being paid by some nefarious George Soros type to say that.
Yeah.
I think he actually genuinely believes it. That's why this idea that. It's like, it's the blue-haired feminists that have done this. It's like it's some shadowy cabal that has done this. No, it's people like Tony Blair and Gordon Brown and David Cameron and Gus O'Donnell. It's those guys that did it.
Right, and I think I'll end the segment with this from LBC. LBC frequently platforms some very left-wing people, like Lewis Gorrell, who was talking about 100% inheritance tax and trying to portray this as a sort of liberty-maxing policy. And I want to show this. They are talking to Niloufar Hidayat, who fled Afghanistan as a child, who is talking about the inhuman treatment of women there. And she says, Afghanistan is one of the worst places on earth to be a woman. I absolutely believe her. I absolutely believe her. The question is, why aren't we allowed to have this conversation when we're talking about domestic issues? And why are we just allowed to have this conversation only when, you know, when the Farage or Reform is talking about the prospect of deportations. Suddenly, not all cultures are equal. So if LBC is platforming people who are saying this, I believe, yeah, okay, just fair play, yes, but we should absolutely have this conversation, because why is it one of the worst places on earth to be a woman? It has to do with some practices, and it has to do with some institutions and, you know,
culture.
Elements of the culture.
Religion.
Yeah, so why is it an extremist question to ask, you know, whether some cultures are compatible, and whether, you know, why is culture suddenly an issue here, but not an issue when we have people like Chris Bryant saying that no, human rights are universal, not partial, and deny the humanity of others and someone else will soon deny yours too. Yeah, there are actually people who deny the humanity of women in Afghanistan. Yeah, I believe that. Why do we want that elsewhere?
It's just such a crazy and obvious double standard. When people are coming from Afghanistan to here, don't worry about it. Don't worry about their values and their culture.
Yeah.
That'd be racist or bigoted to worry or even think or even talk about or notice that. But when it comes to sending them back, we couldn't possibly do that because of their terrible culture.
And
everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, someone like Chris Bryant is just, to me, someone suffering from a type of insanity. It's a type of insanity to sort of refuse to accept reality, the evidence of your own eyes and ears, at the detriment of your country and your people on a massive scale, not like the odd incident, the odd unfortunate incident, but on a mass scale, to be gunning as hard as you can for the replacement of your own people in their ancestral homeland, their rape and murder and replacement. That is mad. That is a type of madness to me.
And people like him sometimes deliberately shield themselves from evidence.
Oh, yeah,
they say, any person who shows me evidence commits hate speech.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Right, let's go to the comments. Okay. GWA. Here's my 2 cents accounting for inflation. Thank you very much. Reverend Norse for £50. Thank you very much. Stelios, it is not a lack of data or education that keeps these up. They do not care for the things we care about. They know we're hurting and want that. That's Swedish corona. Swedish corona. Right. Okay. R. Bond for £10. Thank you very much. Thank you for the sanity. You're welcome, and thank you very much for the donation. Pa, for £6, says, if we want international law to be upheld, I think the legal doctrine of necessity is a perfect, reasonable defense to dispensing with the ECHR. Mm. Okay, June Wo, for $2. Oh, is this live? Yes, it is. Thanks. Right?
We are live.
Okay. okay, so Riot 9, is this Australian dollar?
I think it is.
I think this, right? For 777. Thank you very much. Reminder for all Aussies, protest against mass migration on the 31st. Kangaroo emoji, koala emoji, and upside down smile emoji. Right. Right. And Pa, for six euros, says, if there was no third option, let me just read it so I'm not okay. If there was no third option, would you rather have all the illegals plus the Boris wave be replaced with French people or with Italians?
Oh, Italians, no question. I'm an Englishman, of course. I'm not going to choose Italians over.
Right. And Steven Nizek for $5, thank you very much, says, Asmongold has a video reacting to a Sargon video regarding mass deportations. Any chance for Asmongold on Lotus Eaters?
I'd love to talk to Asmongold.
I'd love that as well.
I've actually only been watching Asmongold for about 6 weeks. I've been aware of him for ages, like everyone has, but I never, ever, ever watched him. And about 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, one of my friends said, oh, do you know Asmongold? And I'm like, I know of him, I don't watch him. And my friend just said, oh, no, he's good, he's worth watching. And so I watched like one of his videos, and ever since then, YouTube just keeps pushing them on me. And because quite often they're short, like really short. I've actually clicked and watched like, I don't know, 20, 30 Asmongolds over the last few weeks. And he's grown on me.
Yeah.
I quite like him. I'd definitely have a conversation with the man.
Great.
I'd be interested to see his reaction to whatever Carl was saying.
Yeah, let's...
Because he's pretty much on our side, right? He's like...
Good guy.
Yeah, he seems to be, yeah.
Right, so OPHUK, I care about how women are mistreated in Afghanistan, but I care more about how Afghans mistreat our women here.
Right, perfect, yep.
Poopmaster 2000, what a name, that's nice. Right, for $50, thank you very much. Bo, the contrast of such a soft-spoken man dishing out such uncompromising and vicious takes never ceases to amuse me. Skibidi on with your unwavering passion.
Oh, well, thank you.
Nice.
I can do no other.
And OPHUK again, thank you. Work with an Afghan fan guy, brings knives to work, tells us how he gets into fights with strangers, wanted to stab me for disrespecting Mo. Wilva K, someone who appears to be not a particularly good guy. Will vacay in Afghanistan soon as he gets his papers. And we have also a, what's that, Samson? Swedish Corona.
Yes.
Right, we have 100 Swedish Coronas donation by Anders L. Thank you very much. Seems like a blank comment. So thank you very much. And also we have by Kevin Tierney for £5. If you guys magically got rid of the NHS, would Britain's birth rate go up or down?
It's an interesting question.
Yep.
Got no idea. There'll still be some sort of private health, I imagine. I mean, in countries where they don't have a completely socialised healthcare system, people still have babies, don't they?
Also, I want to say I'm a bit tired of the demographic doom and gloom predictions of people, because it's just, you know, it's below replacement or something. Demographic predictions or projections are notoriously mistaken. It doesn't mean that just because the birth rate is what it is right now, it doesn't mean it's always going to be like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe it goes up, maybe it goes down, I don't know, but I just don't, it's getting a bit much.
I completely agree. For a start, I don't agree that the bigger the population is, the more revenues you get, and therefore it's just simply always good. I don't believe that for a start. And secondly, exactly as you said, the idea that if the birth rate is below the death rate, i.e. the population is going to decline, that there's anything like that's an existential threat. Like that will just keep declining until there's no one left. No, nonsense.
Right.
Populations can go up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you look at the past where there's been like massive population decreases, like the amount of men folk that died in World War One, say, or the Black Death in the 14th century, say. It didn't mean that the population just went down, declined forever, and then there's no English people anymore. It doesn't work like that.
I think
it can go up and down.
We should do something about it at the point.
Yeah.
Should we go on the total joke that the Green Party is?
Yeah, okay. So, massive news, Stelios. Massive, massive news. There's going to be a leadership, or there always already has been, really, a leadership contest in the Green Party. Seismic stuff for British politics.
Is that why I couldn't sleep at night?
It's massive. This is massive. Throw away the history books. Because there might be a change in the Green Party. No, I mean, sort of my angle on this is that the Greens are a joke, complete joke. And they're massively astroturfed as well. That's one of the first points I'd like to make. The mainstream media like to make out that there's obviously the three main parties, or four now, but the Labour, Conservative, Lib Dems, the classic old school heritage legacy, three main parties. But now throw Reform in, especially as they're actually leading the polls. They're actually leading them healthily. So let's say there's four main parties, let's say that. So after those four main parties, then like the mainstream media will often throw in the lesser parties, and the Greens will always get a shout in that sort of tier, that sort of echelon of like the best of the rest type small parties. But they're tiny, really. I mean, I think so. They've been around since the 70s, I believe. Been around since the 70s and were sort of co-opted and infiltrated and subverted by commies sort of really quickly, like in the 70s still.
Weren't they a creation of commies in the 60s where they said, right, we need to create a new left now?
Well, sort of, yeah, basically. I think in the very, very first instance, it was truly a movement or a party about sort of environmentalism. But as I say, very, very quickly, within a space of just a few years, was co-opted by hardcore lefties. It's funny, actually, isn't it? Sort of just a broader point here that there are broad trends when it comes to political thinking and worldview. The idea that if you're right leaning, let's use America for example, if you're sort of a MAGA person or a Republican, you are very, very likely to not be particularly interested in environmentalism.
Yeah.
Right? They don't necessarily have anything to do with each other. Right? In terms of pure political ideology, like having a small government and all that sort of thing,
no, like doesn't, Trump.
Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be anti-environmentalism, but yeah. That's just the way it often goes.
Trump said he loves fresh air.
Drill, baby, drill. Yeah, it's just often the way, isn't it, that sort of environmentalism will go hand in hand with sort of leftism. It's not always the case. As I say, it doesn't have to be that way. You can get extremely conservative people with a small c who are completely into and extremely interested and worried about the environment and things. And vice versa, you can get a hardcore lefty that is all about oil rigs.
Yeah, let's make the planet into a Coruscant.
Yeah, you can get a socialist that loves dropping litter or whatever, you know. They'll be rare, but anyway. So, okay.
Rare?
So I think that, I don't think I know, it is the case that the Green Party they're astroturfed, really. They're given more airtime and more sort of column space and more sort of interest from mainstream media than they deserve, in my opinion. And the irony of that is that they quite often, people like this quite often, are moaning about, you know, a small party like, I don't know, like David Curtin's party, or even Reform before the last election. They would always moan, why are you platforming these Nazis? Why are you even letting anyone know that they exist? You're astroturfing them. No, you're the astroturfed ones.
Yeah, I think they're containment, basically, who is bred for coalitions. Because occasionally they find themselves in several governing coalitions and they give a sort of virtue signaling aura or dimension in the coalition, and that's why they're astroturfed. I think I can think of them in Germany, for instance, and it's peak micromanagement of decline, like crime surges in train stations. Let's have women-only carriages. That was their proposal.
Perfect example.
Yeah, or ban knives.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Ban all knives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't have pointy knives.
Yeah. You have to get Big Brother's permission to have a kitchen.
No more pointy knives. Cleavers only.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the blade on the cleaver can't be too keen. that will sort everything out. Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, it's actually an interesting point, a good point. I was going to leave towards the end, but let's just say it now. If we're moving, and it seems that we are, moving into a world of many, many more parties, a much more multi-party world, in Great Britain anyway, then smaller parties that have even got like two or three or five MPs or something, really will be of much more significance if like coalitions sort of have to be formed all the time or much more often. Because in Britain, there was the Cameron, Lib Dem, Nick Clegg years. But beyond that, we rarely have coalition governments. And I think in the future, I'm even talking decades in the future, it will be much more likely that coalitions will be formed. And you're right, that sometimes a small party you look at the unionists, Northern Ireland unionists or something. Yeah, they could be the difference between being able to form a government or not when they've only got a tiny number of MPs. So, yeah, the Greens. So their first MP was Caroline Lucas in, like, 2010. That was their first MP ever. Yeah. So they've been around since the 70s, but they never actually even had one MP until 2010. And even now they've only got a very small number, haven't they? I think they've got four. And they've got a number of councillors and things. And to be fair, they're not, I don't mean to say that they're utterly insignificant. They're not. I believe at the last election, they got something in the order of 6% or something. That's 5, 6, 7%. Yeah, that's not nothing. Yeah. That's absolutely not nothing. So I'm not saying that. But but they're not truly popular. They're not truly popular.
I can conceive of Greens entering into coalitions with both, you know, small C conservatives and leftist parties. But I can think of them, I can conceive of them creating problems for a coalition that is led by small C conservatives, but I can't think of them as creating trouble for a leftist-led coalition.
Well, I've got an article towards the end that I was going to read, but in that, yeah, one of their main people, which I'll talk about in a moment, Zach Polanski, he said, he just explicitly said that he'd be willing to work with, closely work with, that Jeremy Corbyn, Zara Sultana party. Yeah, so... yeah, of course there would be happy bedfellows with any sort of lefties.
Yeah.
And I imagine, or wouldn't want to, it wouldn't be their first choice to work with any right-leaning or even centre-right-leaning parties. But
the point is, honestly, when I hear Greens, they just don't seem to be the types of people who talk only about the environment. Mostly they talk about woke stuff.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing. This is my main angle about them, is that the environmental side is now, at this point, purely and obviously just a smokescreen to cover up communism and globalism and Islamism, all the things that aren't in the interest of certainly your average native.
Yeah,
all those things. So, okay, they're going for they've got a new leader, they've had a leadership campaign. The results, I believe it's already happened and their members have already voted and everything, and the results are going to be released on Tuesday next week. Okay, so a lot of people that are in the know said that maybe this Zach Polanski chap is going to be their next leader. He's certainly been astroturfed really hard. Like, he gets all over the place. I've seen him on LBC, I've seen him on Laura Koenigsberg, on the BBC. You get on ITV, Sky News, Jeremy Vine, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
They're astroturfing him so hard. Meanwhile, his own YouTube account's got 2,800 subs. So no one really. No one is actually...
We have more than he does. He has.
Yeah. That's not, that's not 280,000. That's 2.81.
Yeah, yeah. So less than 3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's small.
What is he saying? To be honest, I was glad and lucky before this segment, because I didn't know of him. But I have the impression that you are going to actually make me cringe with what you're going to show me.
Oh, well, he just says anything and everything. The classic, all the lefty commie nonsense. All of it.
Greens of the world unite.
I mean, it's the classic, it's the politics of resentment and envy and jealousy, and that rich people are the problem, always.
The Greens of all the world have nothing to lose but their diesel engines.
Yeah. It's just not possible that any foreign person could be a concern. It's the billionaires we need to eat.
And those who drive diesel cars. You know, I can't make peace with them. I can't make peace with them because they want to turn the entire country into a EULA zone.
Yeah.
That's actually going to harm the working class because, you know, diesel is cost effective in some cases.
They're barely even talking about environmental stuff anymore.
No, they're talking about other stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it really is a smokescreen. So, like, what is he? He's a Jewish, gay, vegan, socialist in a green skin suit.
Yeah,
that's who he is. And so, yeah, just all over the news is Zach Polanski. Is Zach Polanski, The Guardian.
He thought politics was a dirty thing.
Oh, yeah.
What does he say there in The Guardian article?
What was it?
Eco-populism.
Yeah, eco-populism. Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense, dude. Yeah, so it was like the Financial Times, even. They must tap into anger. Must they? Really? Just all over the place. Zach Polanski. And... to be fair, and this is a value judgment, purely my own personal opinion, he's really obnoxious.
Yeah.
on top of having all the worst worldview, a terrible worldview, something that would completely tank our economy, and just endless migration, and just like a pure, yeah. Well, something approaching evil in my mind. On top of that, he's actually obnoxious as well.
So Starmer needs to be more scared of us than reform. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about Treebeard and the ants about to attack Isengard with the trees?
Starmer needs to be more scared of us than reform. What planet are you living on, dude? What planet?
I mean,
he reckons he's going to get 40 seats at the next general election.
It's a elite theory, because his 2.8k subscribers may form a shadowy cabal of elites
right.
who are going to scare Starmer away.
Super powerful. Every single one of those 2,800 subs are like super powerful Westminster elites.
Yeah,
that's the case.
They're the Chads that are going to resurrect antiquity.
Yeah, right. Okay, so, I mean, imagine if you were, unfortunately, I've got to say, sort of fairly credulous, gullible environmentalist. Imagine that was just you. You're just like a little old lady that was really into recycling and making sure you put the right bit of plastic and paper in the right bin. And you really care about how polluted the oceans are. You're really worried about that. Right? And so you vote green. You voted green ever since the 70s or whatever. And now you realise, and suddenly, like, at what point do you realise, oh, the Green Party, I was just interested in having, like, what's the thing you put on your roof? It's solar panels. I was just interested in having solar panels on my roof. But now we're talking about getting rid of the rich and 100% inheritance tax or 50% inheritance tax or something. Like, when did that come from? Where did that come from? I feel sorry for those people, those genuine environmentalists. They're just worried about the ozone layer and CFCs, right? That type of person, right? Who's genuine, right? I feel a bit sorry for them because they've had the Mickey taken out of them.
Yeah,
they're being duped if those people are still voting green. There's no reason to vote green. There's no reason to vote green. If you're a uni party person, you've got a couple of different options. If you're a full Islamist person, you can vote for Corbyn, right? So. Yeah. There's no reason to vote green at all. But I thought, you know, let Polanski speak for himself.
Stop censoring him.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in his mouth. let's hear him himself. So this is his little pitch to be the leader of the Green Party.
I met a man recently. Said he wanted to stand on a beach like this one with a gun and shoot the people coming across on small boats. Said it like he was just talking about the weather. The worst bit wasn't even that shock. Because it's this obsession that has gripped the country. The boats for...
The music, the sad violin.
Boats for boats. Yet something doesn't add up. Our NHS is crumbling. Our wages are frozen. Our rents are obscene. And our rivers are open sewers. And all those in power can do is blame the boats.
Wait, you talk about the NHS crumbling and rents going through the roof and wages down, but it's wrong to worry about the influx of loads more people.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense?
Makes zero sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It's talking absolute
more people,
nonsense.
More trash.
Sorry?
More people, more trash. I'm not saying that,
well, there's
people
that
are
as
trash.
Well.
I'm saying that, you know, you consume more products and you have to take away your rubbish.
The actual environmental angle as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were worried about the environment, but no, a million more people a year, every year, endlessly, still. It's just, it's insane. You could only believe it if you suffer from such cognitive dissonance that you've abandoned paying any attention to your own cognitive dissonance. That's the only way you could believe this.
Labour repeats it like it's gospel, this idea that there's no money left, and then they stoke racist narratives about strangers.
Racist or racist. Say it. Let's say it all together.
Destroying everything. Well, I call bullshit. Where do we draw the line?
Language, please.
You said bullshit. He's a strong man.
Yeah.
He's a strong leader.
I mean, he is bullshitting us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the irony of this.
Yeah.
It's just an endless spiel of bullshit from this chump.
On the lies, the scapegoating, the idea that there's no money left in this country. There is plenty of money.
Oh, there's still some rich people. There's still some rich. There's some kulaks left.
Yeah.
There's money. Don't you dare pretend you haven't got any money left that we can't steal from you. Don't you dare.
More than ever, just not for us. Since COVID, there are more billionaires than they've ever been. And whilst
billionaires are evil.
Yeah.
Billionaires are the worst thing. They're the worst thing.
Yes, he's watching too much Squid Game all the time, maybe, you know, just...
this thing that all leftists like, have, that billionaires are like, yeah. that's the problem.
Sitting there in the lounge, you know, with a footstool there, sitting, oh, player 456, he died, you know.
Like, it is the classic true communist eat the rich.
Yeah.
Like, the first enemy is rich people.
That's the kind of grift, you know. I mean, I like Aerosmith, the band, but you know they had the song "Eat the Rich," but also they don't seem to me to be particularly poor themselves.
Right, yeah.
So it's just
isn't Steve Tyler?
Yeah.
The rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Though.
Yeah. So. Maybe he forgot it because he was a bit stoned when he wrote it.
Let's finish up with this complete mug.
Their wealth doubled, ours has been stripped away. So no wonder people are angry. Because while we feel the walls are closing in, the elite, they got to work. They flooded Westminster with lobbyists. They made sure that...
Oh, it's Westminster being flooded with lobbyists that's the problem.
Yeah, the boats with lobbyists.
That's the problem. Not the actual towns and cities being flooded with unvetted foreign criminals.
I think...
Not that.
No, it is an issue of population. There are too many billionaires.
Oh, far too many, yeah. One is too many.
Yeah.
One is too many. And then we'll start on the millionaires. Yeah. And then we'll start on the kulaks, because that's what communism is.
Farage was on every TV program going. Day in.
Look, yeah, like, Farage, you've astroturfed Farage. Yeah. That's the problem.
I mean...
and day out telling the same lies. Because where do you think these stories come from? All this time they've been pointing at the small boats, telling us they were the people to blame. But the problem this whole time was the super rich and their yachts.
Are you mad? Are you mad?
Yeah. But also, especially some billionaires who are funding some NGOs are in the problem for him, I'd say.
Oh yeah, I suppose though. Yeah, those billionaires were right though.
Yeah, they're for him, the anointed, I imagine. And the enlightened.
Yeah. Yeah, the right type of billionaire.
Yeah.
Like the problem is not the that you're being invaded and replaced, whether legally or illegally. That's not the problem. It's that there's some billionaires who own yachts. What a spaz.
Speaking of the music.
What a spastic. That's mad.
Speaking of the music, maybe people are going to dunk on me, but I think it was absolutely hilarious when it came to the video Farage did with deportations. And he had this dark, imposing music behind. I just found it hilarious.
Yeah. Setting a mood.
Yeah.
They got a whole team of media people to come up with this. You can only imagine.
Dark tone, yeah.
They go, we're going to have some very serious music over the top of this one.
People will say, what does this have to do with the Green Party? Are you lot all about trees and nature?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. Defending nature is vital.
And
this is about human nature. The man who wanted to go on a beach and shoot people, he wasn't born like that. The same system that is poisoning...
He probably was. He probably was born with an innate in-group preference. Probably was, yeah.
...poisoning our rivers is poisoning our minds. All of us. And we have to draw the line.
You've got the nerve to talk about poisoning minds, Zach. Got the nerve to talk about... Sorry, go on.
No, please.
We have to change the system. Not just so we can survive... but so we can all thrive. That's the Green Party I want to lead.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
I mean, this kind of alarmism is incredibly dangerous, polarizing, and it's leading to actual harm in some cases.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's leading to the...
Ridiculous.
It's leading to the destruction of our economy and the very fabric of our society. Yeah. So anyway, earlier on I mentioned that not just communism, but also Islamism. Some people might think, oh, that's a bit alarmist, Bo. That's a bit of a far-right fantasist thing to say. What's the Green Party got to do with Islamism, of all things? Surely there's no sort of unholy alliance between, like, Islam, radical Islam, and the Green Party that cares about sort of clean rivers and clean oceans. Oh, well, let's just hear from Mothin Ali, a Green Party councillor. If anyone, this is truly a Green Party, a duly elected Green Party councillor. You might think he'd talk about bins and recycling stuff, but no.
We will not be silent. We will raise the voice of Gaza. We will raise the voice of Palestine. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar! So that's the Green Party.
Yeah.
That's the Green Party. Yeah. Incredible. Sort of incredible. But luckily they don't actually have any massive support. I mean, one thing that indicates that was this quite interesting article, which talks about essentially name recognition. Like, do you know the leaders of the parties? Right. And so you can well imagine that the Prime Minister, people know. Nyaj, people know. It's been around forever. And, you know, the Brexit thing and going on, I'm a celebrity, people know. Again, the leader of the opposition, people know. Most people don't know Ed Davey. Nobody knows the leader, few people know the leader of the Greens, the current one, Carla Denyer. I mean, even people in their own party, even people in their own party don't really know.
Yeah. It's because it's all just virtue signaling.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a luxury belief, isn't it? Yeah. It's a luxury thing. And we're just moving away from that world where anyone can afford sort of a bullshit luxury view. Particularly if, it's clearly a smokescreen for communism and Islamism.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about, you know, human nature and stuff. And I think ultimately it's always about human nature, because the nature is indestructible. It may, if the planet changes, it could be the ecosystem that sustains human life that could be theoretically destroyed. So again, it's about people. So at the end of the day, what I find interesting and a bit worrying is that lots of people who are supporting these movements, they very frequently shut their minds, stop reading about society, and they just say, right, I want to focus on trees and rivers, and I love nature, by the way, but I'm just saying that very often When I encounter people who have a green mindset, let's say, and a green party rhetoric, I try to see whether they actually care about people, flesh and blood human beings, more than they do about virtue signaling.
Yeah. And they're rare.
Yeah.
Those people
are
genuinely rare. Yeah. I'll say, if you are one of those people, like a real environmentalist, don't vote for the Green Party, because that's not what they're about.
Yeah,
they've been subverted and perverted a long time ago. Now, you're not going to get policies that actually benefit the best interests of like the British countryside. You won't get that from them. Yeah. It's not really what they're about. So then finally, there's this really in-depth article that I was going to read loads of, but there's no point now. I dunked on them hard enough.
Yeah.
I'll leave the segment there.
Is he trying to rage bait?
Yeah, well, just to quickly say then, the article is looks at the debate within the Green Party of whether they should sort of appeal to normies or whether they should appeal to hardline green stroke commie activists. And that guy, Zach Polanski, wants to appeal to hardline green activists, like whip up anger. And a lot of the existing, like the three, four existing Green MPs are like, no, we tried that for decades. It didn't really get us anywhere. We need to be reasonable and appeal to normies. So
they constantly,
which way, Green Party?
They're constant doomers. They constantly predict the end of the globe, every day. And at some point, it's like you stop listening to them. Right, so Based Ape says, for £5, thank you very much. My name is Stelios. I eat butts for breakfast. Happy Friday, everyone. Jay for $5 says, if things don't work out in the US, Europe should open up quick immigration opportunities to Americans with European ancestry. Brother Doom for $5 says, to both points, they often are eco-fascists, like Green Party members, use the watermelon emojis, green on the inside, red on the outside. Pa for 2.5 euros for Steli. Best place for a holiday in Greece. It really depends. If you want to go for swimming, go to the islands. Right. I forgot the message. Again, A for 100 Swedish koronas. I forgot the message. Laughing emoji. Here goes. If I could deport only the man, so be it. 98% of the problems gone. Reverend, could we scroll up, please? Yes. Reverend N. Again, for 50 Swedish koronas. We have many Swedish koronas coming in. Thank you very much.
I'll have to look up the exchange rate. I don't know if 50 or 100 Swedish koronas is like 8 pence or whether it's like 90 pounds. I don't... Okay. All right.
Right.
Okay.
Bo, sorry, it is off topic, but what is the name of your new YouTube channel you mentioned the other day? Not History Brummer, already subbed to that.
All right, yeah. The State of Politics. It's quite new. It's very new. We're trying to get it off the ground. We've only got a few thousand subs there. Me and Nate off of Mr. H Reviews. The State of Politics. Please do consider going on YouTube, typing in, searching The State of Politics and subbing to that. If you want more of my takes and Mr. H, do that. Yes, please. Thank you.
Right. Again, from OHPUK. For $1. Thank you very much. I don't blame the boats, like that dude on the beach says. I blame the invaders on those boats. I blame the desert problems they bring along. I blame the atrocities they commit once here, etc., etc.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, you see, you talk to me about communists and kulaks. Mm-hmm. I think basically we have a huge problem with communists.
Have we?
Huge problem and socialists and other people who are masquerading as whatever they are, but they're really communists. They're the sheep, the wolf under the sheep's skin.
Yeah, like Fabians. Yeah.
Yeah, Fabians.
Yeah, they're full blown insane.
Yeah.
Sort of like almost Pol Pot style, and they pretend they're just social democrats.
So, you know, the British invasion of the US in the 60s with music.
Right.
That was a good invasion.
All right.
Right, yeah.
The Beatles.
But now there's a Fabian intrusion of the US. It's not by the UK, right? No, I was just being a bit dramatic. But there is something Fabian about the US, and they have people like Zoran Mamdani who come out and they advocate for policies that I just can't understand how people in the US are for. Mm. But apparently some are. And that shows a lot about how the Democrat propaganda has worked and how the leftist indoctrination within academia has worked since the 60s. And we are going to talk to you about a democratic socialist today that can't bench, who can't bench, but also...
Bench press.
Yeah.
Bench press. Okay.
He can't lift even 135 pounds, which are around 60 kilos.
That's not that much.
Yeah, but he should be able to, but he doesn't. Because he's too high and mighty for it. And like a genuine socialist aristocrat, he's going to get the proletarians do it and say that he does it for their own good because he knows their own good better than they do. Right, so let's see that the Democrats are very dissatisfied with the US. They're very dissatisfied. And they say that right now there are zero Democrats who are satisfied with the way things are going in the US at this time.
Zero.
Zero.
It's because they've got the bad orange man in the Oval.
Yeah.
So they're just, whatever he does or says, whatever it is, they're not happy with it. Okay.
I mean, that's simultaneously tragic and a bit farcical.
Yeah.
Because, right, okay, I can understand for election purposes if they ramp up a bit the Trump derangement syndrome, you know, for the rhetoric for the elections. But the very fact that right now zero Democrats seem to be satisfied with the way things are going in the US, just zero. Mm. What are the odds?
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Yeah.
Right. So
in a real poll, you wouldn't really ever see zero like that, would you?
Yeah, but even if it were true, I know, even if it, let's assume it's true.
Sure, okay.
It shows a lot about how the Trump derangement syndrome wasn't just, you know, pragmatic socialist rhetoric, no, pragmatic rhetoric just for the elections. It's they have actually been brainwashed to such an extent that they can never see whether Trump does anything good or not. I think that this is, it's very unlikely to view an administration and say that absolutely nothing they did was good. I can get it, totally say that, yeah, Biden was mostly awful, yeah? But just looking at an administration and saying there's zero good at it, just from a serious perspective, it's a bit, you know, it's too ideological.
No, the mainstream media did their job well.
Yeah.
Their job was to create division and paint Trump as just sort of purely evil. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they did a good job. Well done, MSNBC.
Yeah.
Well done, CNN. You did your job well.
So it seems to me that they are paving the way for many decades now. They are paving the way for a more radical and more leftist agenda, which right now is being upheld and promoted by politicians such as Zoran Mamdani, the New York City mayor hopeful. He hasn't been elected yet, but he seems to be about to win it.
Did he win? He's got the nomination.
He's got the nomination.
Okay.
And he seems like he's leading the polls. Okay. Right. So we are going to...
Just quickly to say, and we've done a segment on this before, I think. Well, definitely did. I do find it hard to believe, or not hard to believe, I understand how democratic voting New York City is. But still, the number of people in that city, which must know, I mean, Jewish people for a start, just for a start, big, massive Jewish population in New York City, they must know that this guy's not going to be acting in their interests.
No, he was actually...
They
I
must
think
know.
They would especially see him as hostile because he was leading the chants that there were pro-Palestine in several cases.
And not just the Jews. I don't want to just concentrate on them. Loads of different demographics of people in New York City must know that this guy is going to ruin their city. And yet they're still going to vote him in.
I really hope not, because his policies are really bad.
I mean, I can't throw too many stones in a glass house because we've got Sadiq Khan as mayor of London. So I get how it happens. I do understand how it happens. I just hope he doesn't win, but it looks like he's going to.
He has very disastrous policies, and in some cases they're really hilarious. But before we show you Mamdani's policies and also the hilarious video where he can't bench press, we have Chronicles... Luca Johnson's new series, and we have definitely check out Thornton Wilder's Our Town episode he did. This is the 12th one. It's a wonderful series. Definitely check it out. And you can subscribe to our website for as little as £5 a month and get access to all our premium content and check out really great literature review and commentary that Luca does.
I did a good one with him about War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Deep dive, critical reading of that.
So we have here Zoran Mamdani calling himself a democratic socialist. So can you imagine, in the US, they basically led the Cold War against communism, and we have someone saying there proudly, I'm a democratic socialist, and he is about to become mayor of New York.
Crazy, isn't it?
Right, so... He is 33 year old, and we're going to come back to this article. Pardon me, sorry. We're going to come back to this article and see what he means by democratic socialism. It's basically a fraud, the way I see it. And we are going to show you some really hilarious video before. Look at him. He can't literally do a rap without help.
Look at this. How much is on that? It doesn't look like there's a great deal. It doesn't look like a great deal of weight.
That's how you move up in the polls. Yeah.
I'll turn music off because I think they have a song, and I don't want us to get.
If you're a politician, on campaign, and you're going to do something like this, like make sure you can do it. Like,
yeah. It's just
he's not.
He can't do it by himself. Yeah, he has this guy, you see that.
His form is terrible. One foot off the ground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hands not in the right places. It looks like he's never done a bench press in his life. That's what that looked like. That's what that looked like.
Right. But the people did it for him.
Right.
That's the issue. Right. Even the Hindustan Times are making fun of him. Weak little man, Zoran Mamdani trolled for failing at bench press at Men's Day in Brooklyn. And this has, it has led to people trolling him. It's fun. I think ultimately the worst thing about him is his policies. And
Just quickly say, it is incidental whether he can do a heavy bench press or not.
Yes.
What really matters is his worldview and his policies.
But I like how, you know, in a very meme-y way, this led to several people saying weak men create bad times. And I think that this is absolutely correct. And it is correct for him, not necessarily because he can't bench press, but because of his policies, because it's all weak, pathetic sentimentalism. Okay. And, you know, it's the kind of zero foresight kind of rhetoric and policy. It's like, you know, hey, I'm a socialist planner. I just call myself democratic socialist, and therefore I don't have any problem attached to me. I don't have to, you know, contend with any strong objection against socialism, and I'm gonna devise this plan, and it's not gonna backfire, and it's not gonna have unintended consequences. It's just silly.
Do we know, has he got any sort of academic background?
I don't think he has. I don't think he has. But he also has a background in hip hop.
Oh, well.
This is part of his persona, that he doesn't feel embarrassed if he doesn't, if he isn't seen as a sort of, you know, traditional man. I'll play this. I won't have music again because I don't want us to get sued, but just look at him on the left. This is him. Young Cardamom and Hab, number one Spice. That's him. Look at this.
Are they doing a rap?
Yeah, they're doing a rap. He was Young Cardamom.
Can we just a few seconds of it at least?
Yeah, all of you, check out Young Cardamom, Zoran Mamdani. It's ultra cringe.
Yuck.
I watched it, so you have to. Definitely go and watch it.
It looks super cringe.
It is super cringe. And let me show you also some ultra cringe play parts here. Where are they? Yeah, it's just... So this guy's going to become mayor of New York. This guy, yeah. And he is basically a socialist. He calls himself a democratic socialist. But democratic socialism basically is managed democracy, which means it's not a democracy. It's some people saying we are the socialist board of directors, and we know, and we are just going to pretend that people are voting for us. We're going to say that our enemies are anti-democracy. As the Washington Post article said, democracy dies in darkness. But somehow, democratic socialism is in darkness. Right.
Is he Muslim as well, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So he's a commie Muslim that does rapping with sub-Saharan Africans.
Yeah, and he's also pro-woke.
Pro-woke.
It's like everything and nothing at the same time.
Yeah, right. That's sort of what I was thinking.
Traditional fraud politician.
Just everything that isn't white. Yeah.
It's like,
anything and everything which isn't...
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I just can't understand how he can, he tries to appeal simultaneously to the very Muslim vote and also the very woke vote, because it's just things are absolutely imbalanced, let's say, right? In the Democratic Convention, they had gender neutral praying rooms for Muslims. I mean, I can't think of traditional Muslims approving this.
I was going to say, that's not allowed, is it?
No, it's not.
Like in a mosque?
But in the Democrat mind, this is a good idea. Somehow it's an inclusive thing. You know?
It would be funny if it wasn't so tragic and insane. Yeah.
But it gets worse. And actually, I've kept the good bits for now.
All right.
So if your attention span isn't, you know, just video clip, a Taylor Swift video clip, congratulations, you're gonna, I kept the best for you because you're the special ones. Right, so we have here the policies that he hasn't rejected: DEI schooling agenda, universal rent control, decriminalization of all drugs, remove cops from schools. He has refused to respond to all these. And let me say here, he's talking about communism. Let us listen to him.
What the purpose is about this entire project, it's not simply to raise class consciousness, but to win socialism. And obviously raising class consciousness is a critical part of that. But making sure that we have candidates that both understand that and are willing to put that forward at every which moment that they have, at every which opportunity that they are given. We have to continue to elect more socialists. And we have to ensure that we are unapologetic about our socialism. There are also other issues that we firmly believe in, whether it's BDS, right? Or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production, where we do not have the same level of support at this very moment. And what I want to say is that it is critical that in the way that we organize, in the way that we set up our, you know, set up our work and our priorities, that we do not leave any one issue for the other, that we do not meet a moment and only look at what people are ready for.
This man is about to become mayor of New York.
Can I just say, that's genuinely scary. When he said seizing the means of production.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. That should be a massive red flag. If anyone who doesn't know, that is a dog whistle for real communism.
Yeah, like, it's not even a dog whistle. He literally said it. That's, at the moment.
That's Marxist-Leninist stuff.
Yeah.
That's Maoist stuff.
Yeah.
That's the real deal communism. Seizing the means of production. Sorry, it's not 1870s Germany. This is mad. That's madness.
Yeah. Is it the first time you...
I've never seen this clip. I don't know a great deal about him. I know a bit about him. Read a couple of articles here or there. A couple of videos here or there. Certainly haven't done any sort of deep dive on the man. Seizing the means of production. That's, you out of your mind.
So raise class consciousness.
Yeah. Just another one. Yeah.
Right. Let's listen to what he says.
This is a dangerous person.
Also, he said unapologetic about socialism. I mean, there's you just can't support socialism. It's a doctrine that's responsible for millions of deaths, famine. It's basically, it's a disaster. You can't say that. You can't say you're unapologetic about it.
A 33-year-old Muslim, actual Marxist-Leninist type communist.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a child playing with matches, isn't it?
Yeah. And who says, we are going to do it, but at the moment we need to, you know, the goal is communism or a form of Islamo-communism. There's a question there. What's that going to be? I can see you're not a fan. Right.
Islamo-communism makes me want to puke.
Any kind of this. Something like that is the goal. All the other bit is tactic. So all of you guys watching in New York, this is a tactic. You shouldn't allow this man to become mayor. Let's look at what he says here.
My platform is that every single person should have housing. And I think faced with these two options, the system has hundreds of thousands of people unhoused, right? For what? And if there was any system that could guarantee each person housing, whether you call it the abolition of private property or you call it, you know, just a statewide housing guarantee, it is preferable to what is going on right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that people try and play like gotcha games about these kinds of things. And it's like, look, I care more about whether somebody has a home.
The abolition of private property, did you just say?
Yeah.
You dirty wrong'un. The abolition of private property.
Yeah. So what is interesting here, he tries to play the bleeding heart card. He says, we have lots of unhoused people, you know, they're in a really bad place, which, right, yes, I don't like this either, obviously. But yeah, I think, you know, he doesn't play the sort of, you know, welfarist pragmatist card. He chooses to frame his opposition to it as, well, you could call it abolition of private property. Yeah, so there are lots of red flags, lots of red alerts going off at the moment.
Homeless people exist.
Yeah.
Therefore, the abolition of private property.
But he also, Bo, I know, I mean, I have the impression you would love communes. You would love hippie communes. Because why not? Let's listen to what he has to say.
Go further toward the Vienna model. We'll have to go beyond the market. We can establish community land trusts to gradually buy up housing on the private market and convert it to community ownership. We can give tenants a right of first refusal to buy out their landlords when buildings go up for sale. And we can fully commit to a new era of social housing, ending subsidies for luxury housing development and using our wealth to build beautiful, high-quality social housing projects that offer good homes and strong communities to everyone. We won't decommodify housing overnight, but we know what we have to do, and we have history to guide us.
Right, yeah, basically, check out the ugly, brutalist houses of the USSR and think again, basically. Right.
Look at this grinning buffoon.
Yeah, I'm looking at his eyes. There's something wrong there.
It looks like he's just woken up or he's high or something.
Looks like a communist.
This is a piggy-eyed communist. This is someone, this is a child LARPing.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows, I'm not sure if he knows what he's really talking about. It doesn't feel like he does. I feel like he's someone that's learned a certain phrases and is just parroting them back out.
So maybe he doesn't know that there was famine in the Soviet Union in the beginning and also in Mao's China. He doesn't know that there was famine. And he is actually proposing city-owned grocery stores. Let's just listen to what he says here.
Grocery prices are out of control. The cost of eggs and milk has skyrocketed. Some stores are even using dynamic pricing, jacking up the cost over the course of a day, depending on what they can get away with. It doesn't need to be this way. I'm Zahran Mamdani, and as mayor, I will create a network of city-owned grocery stores. It's like a public option for produce. We will redirect city funds from corporate supermarkets to city-owned grocery stores, whose mission is lower prices, not price gouging. These stores will operate without a profit motive or having to pay property taxes or rent, and will pass on those savings to you.
Yeah, right.
That's the face of a fucking madman. Right, so a command economy, a touch. Yeah. So that never works.
Yeah, but
price fixing, that never, ever, ever works. Working outside of the market, it was doomed to failure. What was the other thing he said where we both went?
The profit motive.
Getting rid of the profit motive, that leads directly to failure every single time. Every single time.
Yeah. And when it leads to failure, it leads also to famine, it leads to violence, it leads to, you know, general social disorder.
Complete collapse.
Yeah.
And famine, ultimately.
But he has a solution for social disorder.
Okay.
He wants to end all misdemeanor charges.
Right.
Yeah.
This sounds like a package for just tanking New York City as fast as possible.
Yeah. There's like, how can we turn it into Gotham City?
Yeah.
That's how it is.
As quickly as possible.
Yeah.
As efficiently and as quickly as possible.
Yeah. New York City has been targeted for termination.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Right. We have here, I don't think that we should have billionaires.
It's just that, again, we said in the last segment, the politics of jealousy and envy and resentment.
Yeah. I want to be a billionaire. What's your problem, Zoran Mamdani? Probably I won't be, but... Right.
Thing is, the super rich nearly always generate wealth and jobs and stuff.
Yeah, it's not like all the fortune one has. It's not like all of it is ready to be liquidated for cash.
Yeah, well, of course.
It's assets producing wealth, sustaining people in jobs.
Commies always think that billionaires are a Scrooge McDuck with a giant room full of gold bullion.
Yeah.
And gems, and it's a zero-sum game, and there's some poor person out there that's starving to death because of that giant silo of gold that the billionaire's got. It's just the most childish nonsense.
Yeah, and I'll end the segment now by saying the following, that he speaks about seizing the means of production, about disrespecting the profit motive, about impunity, basically. Talks about raising class consciousness. He talks about communal spaces, which you have to be a communist to say this.
Working outside the market. Didn't he say something like that?
Yeah.
A minute. Well,
you have to be a communist. But Brian Krasenstein says Mamdani isn't a communist. If you're tweeting this, it shows your ignorance.
Okay.
Sorry, no. He is a communist.
Yeah, how about no, Breyer?
Right, okay. Let's go to the comments. Aber for 200 Swedish coronas, have some money. Thank you.
Cheers.
Potato Radio for $5. Thank you very much. He's pushing city-run grocery stores, i.e. empty famine centers like Kansas City. Soon, obesity will disappear.
Well, yeah, it might help the obesity problem.
Yeah, but you hear they say, well, that when you run out of money, you eat fast food, so it won't disappear. That's the new leftist rhetoric, that it's not a matter of personal responsibility, it's a matter of
what you eat. Collective canteens work so well during the Great Leap Forward. Everyone got fed if you have collective canteens.
Span for £5. All it takes is one mother and one son. Yikes. Potato Radio. Let me read this. If taking away guns, pointed knives is necessary to save lives, isn't free air conditioning and cheap electricity necessary as some people die from heat? Again, it's the air conditioning thing. That was £5 for... excuse me, Samson, could we go? Yeah. Okay, right. Okay, great. Let's go OPHUK for $1. Thank you. It's Mayhem Danny, you bigot. Alex Adamson for $2. Thank you very much. I write this heading home from work. I have beheld the first of hopefully many England flags soon to come. For once, something happens in Hull. $1 from Ryan Hinnigan. Thank you very much. I'm not entirely opposed to renters getting first bid when the property is up for sale, but that's about the only non-retorted thing he said. Never thought I'd root for the Cuomo Mafia family. Booker 505 for $5. Thank you very much. Follow the money behind this guy. If Wall Street and New York banks are okay with him, it might be a scheme that New York City properties exchange hands so the new owners show up to help people with rents. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jade Runner 2049 for £5. Thank you very much. Devon Tracy just released a Substack article exposing the Young Turks for directly inciting the Baton Rouge massacre. Might make a good segment. We'll watch it.
No, I might hopefully get him on.
Okay.
If anyone doesn't know, this person probably does know. I've had Devon on here twice.
Okay.
I consider him a friend. Met him IRL. I think he's a great guy.
Okay.
So, in fact, I've DM'd him. Hopefully, I'll get him on early next week.
Great.
We'll go through it in detail.
Great. Let's go to the video comments now. Craig Cooper.
After this latest transgender shooter, I can assure you, not one of you on the Lotus Eaters or anyone watching, or all of you combined, hate social media as much as I do, because I know that if I'd grown up in the era of social media, that would have been me. By the way, guys, your theme song has become quite iconic for you guys. It just breathes Lotus Eaters. I don't think live streaming on YouTube is worth giving that up.
Well, interesting. Well. I'm glad that you're well and didn't turn up becoming worse. We'll discuss this. Right. Thank you. Do we have another video?
Guys, your theme song has actually become quite iconic. Like, whenever I hear it, I just think Lotus Eaters. It breathes.
What? Yes, Amogas is a sussy gay backer boy. Big Chungus sends his throbbing love to you. Rule, Big Chungus rules the waves. Charles, you are the sus Chungus imposter.
I saw Boris vent. Keep being the girl boss you are. Stay sus and don't choke on these nuts. A winner winner chicken dinner in Fortnite, the sussy backer.
Are they real or are they AI?
Probably AI.
Is that real or AI?
No. Okay.
But... what?
Okay.
Has he got no self-esteem?
Okay.
Or no... That's crazy.
Do we have another video comment or should I go to the segment comments from the subscribers? Samson? Do we have another video comment, please? Right, okay. So, Kevin Fox says, oddly though, even with a constant interference from the ECHR, we in Britain are faced with Greece gets away with housing illegals in tents. I don't think that's true, by the way. Something the leftist libtard human rights lawyers in the UK will run crying to the ECHR to prevent in the UK. We have the same issue with structures, and they go in, and again, it's more money paid. And then there's a fire, they go out. Jimbo G. And who exactly are these judges to rule that politicians should be allowed to gamble with their safety, prosperity, and dignity? How can this ever be the case? It's sickening just how much contempt the establishment has for its people. Roman Observer says it's never just about the laws by themselves. It's always about the people interpreting and abusing the law. Absolutely. And Colin P. says, we don't like the results, so let's change the judges. Wrong answer. Try again. How very EU. Do you want me to read for your segment?
If you wouldn't mind, yeah.
Right.
Do a okay. couple.
Okay. Ed Miliband harnessing Enoch's spinning grave. When I walk through my town center, I don't recognize it anymore. I feel out of place and like I'm being pushed out of the very place I grew up. The super rich are everywhere, just loitering on benches, and they completely outnumber the locals now. It's like they're taking business calls on speakerphone and leaving yachts everywhere just to rub in the fact that there's nothing we can do about it. I'm voting green. That's trolling.
Yeah.
Right. Alpha of the Betas says hardcore environmentalism goes hand in hand with overreaching managerialism because it relies on massive government regulation and overreach to function. It also relies on the premise that business is basically immoral and will always do evil unless held to the highest standards of the self-declared moralists. Mm. Binary Surfer says he's not wrong that the small boats are a fig leaf, but not for the rich. For legal mass migration, and it will soon be discarded. And Northblood says, I guess it doesn't matter which end of the globe you're on, greens are just retarded watermelons. And let's go to Chad Koala says, turns out muscle mass can be distributed. Each individual has to build it themselves. This principle doesn't just apply to muscle. Right? You have to do it yourself. Some things you just have to do it yourself. Lord Inquisitor Hector X says even his muscles require government help. A's Arizona Desert Rat, what's with the guy yelling this is how you get ahead in the polls? I know, maybe he tried to uplift him and boost his morale because he say this guy is a weakling.
All right.
Chance from Canada says cool policies, bro, but doesn't this neighbor eat with his hands? He did it with his hands for one promo and then ate with a knife and fork for another promo. And Lord Nerevar says, to be fair, Labour can't really betray us. They never promised us anything to begin with. And honourable mentions, the Wigan Survivalist, happy Friday, lads. Please, could you do a lads hour reviewing film 300? I want to see the Stelios in a toga. I need to get a bit more in shape before that. Right. So on that note, we came to the end of our podcast. Bo, it was a pleasure today. I really enjoyed it.
Hope you
enjoyed it well as well. Definitely visit us at 3 p.m. UK time for a gold Zoom. This is for gold subscribers. If you're a gold subscriber, do join. If you're not, consider joining. And if not, we come back next Monday, 1 p.m. UK time. See you and goodbye. Have a great weekend.